Welcome to the SEI podcast series, a production of the Carnegie Mellon Software Engineering Institute. The SEI is a federally funded research and development center at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. A transcript of today's podcast is posted on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts. My name is Suzanne Miller. I am a principal researcher here at the SEI, and today I am pleased to introduce you to my friend and colleague Peter Feiler, who is the technical lead and author of the Society for Automotive Engineering's Architecture, Analysis, and Design Language, known as AADL. Peter's research includes dependable real-time systems, architectural languages for embedded systems, and predictable system analysis and engineering. In 2009, he received the Carnegie Science Award for Information Technology for his work with AADL. The AADL Standards Committee is meeting in Pittsburgh this week with members from throughout the globe to discuss evolving elements of the standard and to work together on action items from prior standards meetings. So, Peter, you've brought Myron Hecht from Aerospace Corporation to talk with us today about his involvement with the AADL Standards Committee and what Aerospace is using AADL for. So why don't you give us a little introduction, please?
Sure. Yeah, Myron Hecht, as you said, is at Aerospace Corporation. He, in his case, doesn't deal so much with the aircraft industry, but with space. And they're doing a lot of work for NASA and JPL in terms of safety and various other forms. And Myron's specialty is safety analysis.
So, Myron, why don't you tell us what your involvement with the AADL standard is and what is it that you find important about AADL for the kinds of safety analysis work that you do?
Okay. Well, AADL to me represents way of enabling practitioners in the dependability community, and by dependability I mean reliability, safety, and security. To be able to interchange models and thoughts and analyses in a structured way. The problem with the field at this point is that there are a lot of good ideas, but we don't understand each other because it takes too long to figure out what everybody's doing. And the biggest problem that we have in these analyses is the unstated assumptions and unstated limitations. And the sooner we get onto a standard platform where we're all speaking the same discipline, really, the sooner we can begin to make major progress in building the next generation of computerized systems, which people's lives may depend even more on the computer. I don't know how we're going on the computer itself without any manual intervention. I have no idea how we're going to do driverless cars. I have no idea how we're going to do home medical devices for critical illnesses, unless we really get greater confidence in our ability to do the analyses.
So how does AADL contribute to helping us to make the transition from unstated to stated assumptions and limitations?
Well, the most important contribution that AADL made from its origination in the aircraft industry, when it was born out of an earlier project from DARPA, where they really intended to develop real-time systems for avionics applications simply by specifying them in the design, but and when you work in that environment, one of the things that you're really worried about is what happens if things go wrong. Because if your car radiator blows over, you can stop by the side of the road and...
Not so much if you're at 20,000 feet.
Yes, that's the problem. You got to keep going when you're on an airplane. And so this is the aircraft industry has been has basically its entire existence depends on being able to assure the public that nothing bad is going to happen to them if they get on this contraption and go.
And that contraption is more and more controlled by software, not mechanics.
Exactly. That was the origin of AADL. So along with that came this thing called an error annex. And the error annex gave a way of specifying the behavior of the system when things went wrong. In other words, when failures and errors happened. And so the ability to express the failure behavior of the system enables us to express our assumptions and also enables us to express the limitations of the analysis
right,
that we're doing.
Right. So is the error error annex the area that you've been working on with the standards committee?
Yes. Well, I've been watching Peter do the development, and Peter was very, very receptive to my ideas initially. Most of which are not most of what in the error annex is not mine, but nevertheless, I do believe that I influenced it, and the reason why I influenced it is because Peter was open and had the conversations that we had in various corners of the world, Toulouse, I think Vienna, and several other AADL meetings.
Yeah. But Myron is a little bit modest because he used the first version of the ERA Annex, which came out in 2006, and extended some original tooling work by Anna Ruchina to build a tool suite that helps him in his actual work with his real customers. And maybe you can comment a little bit about that.
All right. So what we want to do in AADL, because it's both a design language, which has, if you will, the capabilities in it to do safety analyses. It's called the Architecture Analysis and Design Language, so it does both design and analysis, is that we can actually take a design, something that people work with, something that designers use, and then take that evidence and those artifacts immediately and without any manual conversion, without having to say, give me something, you change it, I don't want to know about it because I have I need to work with something stable. And then coming back 6 months or a year or 2 years later and saying, here's the result of our analysis, and showing it to the designers and saying, oh, by the way, we changed that. Or conversely.
So you can do much closer to time of design, you can
right.
do the analysis.
And not only that, but there's no effort involved in transformation.
Mm-hmm.
If the people doing the design are the same people as the ones doing the analysis and they're using the same artifacts, then I just take what they give me and I can begin to do work on it. The techniques we use involve taking a specification of the architecture and then the specification, the description of the architecture and the description of its error behavior. And by doing that, you can start doing wonderful things. You can start thinking about, what are the combination of states that it can be in? How can it, in what states
how
is it working?
How could it reach this state where this terrible thing would happen?
Right, exactly. How could it recover? What's the quantitative reliability and availability? What's the probability of getting into a particular state, for example, using a fault tree analysis? All of this is possible immediately, almost, or can be possible as we develop the tools to do this. Now, the point about this is that if the designers are aware from the beginning that their design is being analyzed, A, they're more careful, and B...
what gets measured gets done is an old adage, and
now,
it applies here, too.
Well, I think what more to the point is that they get insight into the failure behavior and the weaknesses of their system and what they might have to do to improve it. Not only that, but the sponsor of their work, who's typically not the designer himself or themselves, is going to know what's going on. They're going to be able to monitor that part of the process and a program manager.
It gives them better insight into what's going on with the design and what's going on with how to correct some of the error behavior kinds of conditions.
So that constant feedback between design and analysis, which now becomes a very tightly coupled loop and a very, very rapid process, is one of the key things, key enablers to enable us to build complex safety critical and life critical and mission critical systems.
So what plans do you have? There's a new constraints annex being built, which I think also connects with the error annex in some ways.
They all work together.
Yeah. What do you see as sort of the next steps for you in your work with AADL?
Well, given the error annex and the proper tools, will be able to take and by the way, the commitment of the designers to use AADL, we can start developing basically a set of analyses and a set of tools to perform those analyses. What I'm also very interested in as I become a senior engineer, which means that you become later in your career, is that you worry about presenting it to the stakeholders, the regulators, right, and the managers.
Right. The certifiers.
The certifiers, everybody who wants to know about that system and who wants to know that they're not going to be able to, that they're not going to be making a terrible mistake by approving it. And so the error annex and the specification, the tools, and the ways that we present the results all go together to enable that to happen.
Excellent. And you're applying this in the space domain.
Right.
So you're also giving the committee feedback if there are areas where the notations need to be extended or the notations don't work the way they're expected in that domain. So you're actually giving them some more feedback in that arena also, aren't you?
Well, I with all due respect to the space environment, it's not the most challenging environment we have to deal with, and AADL handles it very pretty well. It's quite similar to the avionics environment from which it came. As a matter of fact, we call the control systems on the satellites, we call them avionics.
Okay, so that makes it a natural fit then.
I guess people get lazy. They couldn't invent another word like astronics or whatever it is.
We have enough extra words, especially in the software industry. We don't need any more.
But I think in more complex situation, I think that driverless vehicles is really going to be the...
I don't think I need to be driving when that happens. I mean, I don't know. I didn't say that right. I don't think I want to be riding when that happens.
Okay.
We're not there yet.
Yeah, but that is, I think, one of the areas that we're doing. I did want to say that one of the things that I think users contribute, and I do consider myself one of the primary pioneering users. That's not necessarily a compliment to myself, but it's just the fact that somebody's got to get their arrows in the back, and that's me. Is I'm able to identify needs in the analysis and needs for additional properties and descriptors and links that need
that
to
make
be
it more useful for things you're talking about, not just doing the analysis but presenting it,
right,
exactly,
as well as connecting it to other kinds of analyses that you would normally want to do as part of your safety analysis.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what we appreciate, both in terms of committee, we get user input since we are revising the ERA annex, and then also in terms of from the SCI side, putting a tool suite together and turning the revised capability into a practice to connect it with the practice that real people do.
Right.
Myron was pointing out, generate reports that people are used to seeing and are able to process, not just computer geeks.
Okay. Very good. Myron, thank you for joining us. Thank you for coming out this week to Pittsburgh, and hope you're enjoying the week with all of your colleagues here. And Peter, thank you for letting us talk to some of the folks here that have been contributing along with you to moving AADL forward. I think if we do get things like driverless cars, it's going to be because we have these kinds of languages and this capability of building confidence in what we've done. And so I think it's very important. Thank you so much.
Sure, you're welcome.
If you, our listeners, would like more information about AADL and the work of the Standards Committee, please visit the AADL wiki site at http://aadl.info/aadl/current-site. That's all one word.
Or in short, www.aadl.info.
This podcast is available on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts, and on Carnegie Mellon University's iTunes U site. As always, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email us at info@sei.cmu.edu. Thank you.